was called. Sometime was in the morning, sometime late at night. But when I got up on my knees, Jesus, everything was all right. Oh, 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 Jesus,
Jesus,
my rose of Sharon,
Jesus,
my lily of the valley,
calling your name.
Has been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street, Leesville. Service times are Sunday schools, 9:50 a.m., Sunday morning worship service, 11:15 a.m., Sunday evening worship, 7:45 p.m., Tuesday Bible study, 7:30 p.m., Friday night worship service, 7:30 p.m., prayer Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple, Church of God in Christ.
Yeah. Tell somebody, say,
you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshiper.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana. Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m. Worship and the Word at 11 a.m. And on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
you to our ushers. Thank you to our officers. And thank you to the disciples of this church. Amen. Well, I want to pick up right where I left off a couple of weeks ago. And I want to pick up right at verse 24, chapter 9, Luke's Gospel. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I want to pick up at verse 24. And we can read on down, Sister Roxy, to verse 27. Amen. We gave a three-part series on what it means to be a disciple. Brother George, I just couldn't get away from it because I think it's imperative for us and important to us as we begin this new year to understand the meaning of what it means to be a disciple. I think it needs to carry over into 2019, amen. Because I think it's so imperative and so important with all of the things that are besetting our lives and the things that we are going through. You need to know what it means and what it takes and who we need as we begin this year off, 2019, amen. And so verse 24 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? Good answer, Sister Rosenthal. And is himself destroyed or lost or lose, as King James may say, his own soul. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. What it means to be a disciple, and I need to make sure I quantify and qualify this of Jesus Christ. And look over to your neighbor for a subtopic and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Pastor Franklin is going to use for a subtopic. Are you dying to live? Are you living to die? Are you dying to live? Are you living to die? For some people in this world, that they see and view that when life fades and falls away, that really that's all there is. But for the believer, we know that beyond this world and beyond this life is eternal life. I need to make us aware that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Some folk would shudder to think and believe that when you're dead, you're done. But I need to tell you that if you would only speak to the man who would not even give Lazarus a few crumbs off of his table, if he could tell you that in hell, when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. I wish I had a witness. But Abraham, but Lazarus found himself in heaven in the bosom of Abraham. And so I believe as we start this year off afresh, a new beginning, a new year, a fresh start, a clean and clear themselves. Because they left God out of the equation. We talked about this command of Jesus to follow me. And he says that in following Christ, that we understood in verse 23 that there was a cause, there was a cross, and there was a commitment. Jesus calls for us to follow him as his disciples, his pupils, his learners. He bids us to come and die. Die to our own self, die to our own self-seeking, die to our own selfishness. He causes us to die and calls us to die. You remember in Columbine, Colorado in 1999, those two men who suited up in black and shot up the schoolhouse. And there was one young lady by the name of Casey. And Casey was approached by these two men, and they, in the classroom, they asked, is there anybody in here who believes in God? And Casey, without any hesitation, raised her hand and says, yes, I believe in the Lord. And then they asked the question to Casey. They went on to ask her, why do you believe? And before she could answer that question, they blew her away. But it was known that Casey, 2 years before, was in a cult. Help me, somebody. She was in a cult that had denounced God and denounced Jesus Christ. But Casey, in those 2 years, had heard about Jesus. Not only had she heard about Jesus, but she heard his command that says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It was known at the funeral that Casey had accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And can I tell you that Casey became a martyr for Christ, a modern-day martyr, because she gave up her life? But can I tell you, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, he bids us to come and die. Some of us think that we may get away from here on our flowery beds of ease. Sometimes we think that because we name the name of Christ, that all of our suffering and all of our setbacks go away. But can I tell you, it's all right to die for Christ, because if we suffer for him and with him, we shall reign with him. Oh, if suffering and martyrdom becomes our lot in life, so be it, that we find ourselves in the center of the will of God. Yes, yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the life that he's given to us as a believer. But many of us, we are not growing in our spiritual maturity. There is no spiritual growth, there is no maturing, and there's no walking with the Master. There's no dying to ourselves. Salvation is more than God giving us all that we ask of him. But Jesus says salvation comes when we are called upon to die to ourselves and live for him. And so I told you about the cross, I told you about the cross, and I told you about the commitment to Christ, but I need to share with you for a few moments about the consequences of discipleship. Matter of fact, Luke brings it out in we'll lose it. Have I got a witness? It's a matter of saving one's life, or a matter of losing one life. Can I tell you, the consequences are serious. Because if I desire to play it safe, if I desire to live my life my own way, and only have a shallow profession of Christ and no real connection with Him personally, can I tell you, we're going to have a rude awakening when Jesus comes. Can I tell you that the matter of your faith in Christ has eternal consequences? That rejecting Christ and avoiding the cross and avoiding the commitment to Christ will cause for eternal separation. I wish I had a witness. I told you earlier that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. We're either going to be in the presence of God for all eternity or separated from Him. And I need to shake somebody here. There is no in between. There is no holding place until your sins are forgiven. Help me, somebody. My Bible tells me that the soul, when it dies, it, to the believer, it goes in the presence of God. The soul that dies, absent from Him and no relationship to Him, is eternally lost. There is no holding place. You're waiting on somebody to pay a priest so much money to pray you out and pay you out of a holding place. You're in rude for a rude awakening. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. There are the personal consequences, and then there is the personal choice that we make. Notice what he says in the text. Therefore, it says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But look what it says. But whoever, he says, will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, I wish I had a believer, will save it. Are you dying to live? Or are you living to die? Can I tell you, it's a personal choice, because I like what the writer says, whosoever, it doesn't matter who you are, fat, skinny, black, white, help me somebody, young, old. We all find ourselves, Brother Billy, in the category of the whosoever. Yes, sir. It's for whosoever. But if you die for His sake, if you give your life for His sake, you'll be able to save it. In other words, in our putting our trust in Christ, we die to our old man and we live to the new. It's right in your bulletin today. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We even went over that in our Sunday school lesson this morning, that when Christ comes into your life, a change takes place. The old man dies and the new man lives. Not only do we see the consequences of that discipleship, but then we see, secondly, the caution of discipleship is right in the text, because verse 25 teaches, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? Thank you, Sister Ruby Jean. You says nothing. It doesn't profit all of the money that we print and the gold that stands behind it, you could gain it all and lose your soul. What is it profiting? What is it benefiting to you? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm talking about the value of a soul. You can't put a price tag on a soul. Because again, a soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Oh, a soul is priceless because you could have all of the diamonds in Africa. You can own them all from every diamond mine, and it still wouldn't amount to a priceless soul. You know, it's amazing how sometimes, so often, we don't value the soul. We can spend so much on our personal bodies. Help me, somebody. Because you do know that this is the first of the year, and everybody has made their New Year's resolutions. Help me, somebody. You know, physically, we want to get in the gym. We want to trim ourselves down and lose some. Help me, somebody. You know you done told yourself that. You're not going to eat all of that pressed ham like you ate last year. You're not going to eat all of that pork chops. Help me, somebody. And ribs and chicken like you did. And you know, oh, 30 days later, child, I done slipped. Chicken smells so good. I just had to cheat on my diet. Help me, somebody. And then when you start slipping, you say, well, it's over with now. I'll wait till next year. We spend a lot of money on our personal bodies and our personal health, but we spend less time and we spend less of our treasure on spiritual development. I wish I had a belief in that. Franklin asked me the other day, says, what then is your, what are the things you're going to do for this upcoming new year? And I didn't hesitate to say, I'm going to study more. Yeah. So wait a minute, you're already studying all this time. And then she says, I'm not only going to study more, but I'm going to pray more. Say, wait a minute, you're getting up already at 5 o'clock in the morning and look like that would suffice. And then I said, Daddy, I want to serve more. And she said, well, what about your family? I said, well, if I study more and I pray more, I can serve my family. I help me somebody. I can serve the church. I can serve the community better. We've got to be focused on spiritual things. Help me somebody. For Paul says, let your focus be on heavenly things. We think too much about things on earth and less about things in heaven. We'll say, wait a minute, Reverend. God got heaven to take care of it. He does. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I don't have to set up any temples. Help me, somebody. Temple won't work up there. I'll verse somebody for a bubble. Jesus said he's preparing that. Told our class, our Sunday school class this morning, so often we think about the things on this side that we never think about the hastening of the coming of the Lord. Our hearts have drifted so far from God. And the mundane things of this world that we have eased God out. Help me, somebody. Brother George ought to be on that one. country. And I love what Sister Franklin is saying. People will relatively talk about God because they feel that they're comfortable. But when you mention Jesus Christ, that's a whole other story. It is Jesus who said,